7.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to the March 3rd closed session of the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District. I am Rochelle Sherris-Watt. I'll take roll call. Eileen Natoli,
present.
Sylvia Hassai,
here.
Director Len Welsh is on his way and will be here shortly. And Director Vanessa Cordova has a class this morning, is unable to make today's closed session. However, she did provide the board with her comments in a one-way correspondence to me. We will now take a public comment about items appearing on the agenda.
Okay, Mary Benson here. And as usual, we have no idea what to make any real comment about, but I'm just saying I'm up here to offer whatever help I can in whatever the latest crisis is. And good luck. And it would be nice, I'm not going to stay around to hear a report because all I'm going to hear is that we have nothing to report out. But my thoughts are with you in any event, and just ask for whatever help you need.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty, that closes. Go ahead, sorry, Celia.
Just Celia Conkus, just to add to what Avery said, you provided us at the last board meeting with examples of agenda items, agendas from several other cities. And I noted that on the closed session items, there was a little more elaboration of what was involved. And I understand that there is a need to be careful with police officers because they have certain rights, but non-officers, it was clear, you know, somebody had a complaint about an easement or some boundary issue, and at least the person's name was involved, just so that there is a little greater information given to the public, so that we don't think worse
the
things
worst.
Are happening.
All right.
Much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Okay. David Bergen, I would just like to second what Celia just said.
Okay. Thank you very much. All righty. We will now move into closed session and adjourn to closed session.
Okay. So, do you want me to come
no.
back?
No. We'll just close up and report out, and I'll bring you the...
Perfect. And then when you come back into open session, would you note the time?
Absolutely.
And then the time of adjournment.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you so
sure.
much.
Sure. No, thank you. Thank you for coming and giving us the key. Oh, that would be the only question is, locking up, making sure that we lock up. And so, but I can run
just,
it.
Yeah, just let me know.
I'm going to need a copy of the key for this room anyway.
Batteries out.
Wait, we need to... So I move to adjourn at 11:22.
Oh, yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
I second.
Oh, thank you for seconding, Eileen. Opposed? None? Okay, the motion passes 4-0.
Nothing to
approve. And Director Welsh joined the meeting at... we have no reportable action for today. No reportable action. And Director Welsh joined the meeting at... 9:12 a.m.
And therefore, my pay is getting doubled.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Actually, one is that Dory, my wife, would like to join the committee.
Perfect.
She would likely be not be able to come to most meetings, but she will be available.
Good. For consultation. Good.
For consultation, and she does have quite a technical background.
Good. Thank you.
So we can talk tech, which is very nice.
All right.
And one other item that wasn't put up here was looking into an uninterruptible power supply,
right.
The UPS, to add to the
right.
rack so that we would keep video recordings running during a power outage and wouldn't lose that video.
Right.
And the only thing we would be actually... supporting would be the camera and the matrix, which is the unit that does the recording.
Okay. I think that what we will need is a specific recommendation so that Ricky could order the right UPS.
Oh, absolutely. But somebody has to let him know that it's okay to do.
Yes. And so what we'll do is we could put this on the... I'll check with Rochelle about putting that, if we need to put it on the agenda for Thursday's meeting. I don't think so, because it's such a small...
It would very likely be around $100.
Yeah, but we just need to know also what to order.
A general manager could probably just order that himself. He has a $5,000 or less line of credit.
That's what I had understood from Rochelle, that he just needs needs to know what it is to order.
No problem. I can do that.
Yeah. And then...
David, could I ask a quick question on that? You said it runs the camera and the matrix, does it?
No, it doesn't run the camera.
Yeah, the camera has to keep running, and the camera is powered. So the camera plus this, I think, is only about 60 watts.
That includes the mics, then?
No.
No, it doesn't.
It's not the AV system, because people can always shout. They tend to do that anyway when the power's out. No, it's just the recorder. And the camera.
Okay, you said it wasn't the camera. Sorry, my ears are plugged. I've got a... Okay. All right. So, hearing devices. And Manu is going to be here opening up that door. We have the microphones. Wi-Fi at the community center. We can address that now. As I understand it, David, we have the ability, in theory, to have cable. The contract that HART has for the Wi-Fi is satellite and very expensive.
I've actually written up something about this.
Okay.
Would you like me to just go ahead with it?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, even though video streaming was mentioned by HART, it's something we don't need. It's an extra expense of at least $180 if we have two meetings streamed a month, and because we have to get a supplier for that service.
So
David, can I ask you then a quick question?
Yeah.
You said we don't need. Why?
I don't think we need video streaming, because we do have it, have the video posted within a couple days, nowadays.
Right, but wouldn't you think people would be more engaged if they could watch it real time?
I don't think so.
I don't.
What would be your basis?
Well, let's not delay it for that.
That actually would be a future item.
Yeah.
Okay.
So video streaming would be $90 per meeting if we wanted it.
About that, yes.
Okay.
Okay. So so right now the Wi-Fi at the center is functioning, but we need the policy.
Hi.
We have someone here with a key. All right.
Andrea, do we need a key to lock it up?
No, this locks automatically.
Okay, good.
So you just want to leave it open.
Open, yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. So that when,
put a chair in the way so it doesn't close.
Okay.
All right, good. That'll allow me to look at the mics later. Okay, so basically... the Wi-Fi is functioning right now, but it's not been made public yet. I've been testing it. It works fine. We need a policy for its use, and the board has to...
approve the policy and adopt it, yeah.
And you and I have been working on the policy.
But there's one issue with the Wi-Fi, as I understand it from you, which is that if people start streaming movies, we can quickly go over our allotment.
Absolutely. Broadband will no longer be broadband.
Right. Apparently what happens is it goes down to dial-up speeds.
Well, that's okay.
48K.
Well, that's okay, as long as we're not charged. My impression was that we would be charged a lot of money.
No, this system doesn't work that way.
Oh, okay.
Some systems do, but not this one. However, if it goes down to that kind of a rate, it's pretty useless for anything
sure.
but email.
Sure.
But my question is, what's the
bandwidth ideal number? In other words, given how many people, forget the streaming of movies and stuff, we have meetings sometimes 200 or 300 people here. If they're all logged in, is that going to impact?
I don't think so.
Well, we should know that, I think.
Okay, well,
can I ask a basic question?
Sure.
Why the Wi-Fi in the first place? I mean, other than giving 300 people the ability to look at something else while you're having a meeting.
Well, sometimes, though, David, I have wanted to pull up the budget or something on the agenda, and I didn't want to print out 200 pages at my house.
Right. Under those circumstances,
and I didn't,
yes.
I didn't think about downloading it into my iPad. And so in that instance, yeah, I wish I could have done it. And there's no, I can't.
I'm on a committee.
Yeah.
And I would like to bring my computer and to be able to look things up.
So how do you make sure that access is available without having everybody, all 300 people streaming in?
Therein lies the problem.
Yeah. Right. So the specs on the system we have right now is we have a data allowance of 60 gigabytes per month. But we can only use 50 of them from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and only 10 gigabytes for the rest of the time, which is actually the time we'll be using,
need it,
right?
Where did those numbers come from?
This is the HughesNet contract that we have. So what we have is a satellite system from HughesNet, which is normally used out in the middle of nowhere when there's nothing else available. Its cost is $182.44 per month. It's a 24-month contract, and our contract began 10/3/06, 16, pardon me.
Yeah.
So we've been paying that much per month and are continuing to do so without having it used at all yet. Now, to control the usage, one possibility is to turn off the router. That's the device that sends the Wi-Fi out to us here. And that just requires a switch, which I could put in if needed.
I want to understand the gigabytes, though, just going back to that a minute. So that's 50 gigabytes between 8 in the morning and 6 in the evening.
Correct.
And 10 for the rest of the day.
Right. Overnight.
Yeah, overnight. I wonder why they did that. That seems...
I have no idea.
Well, more importantly, is that something we could renegotiate?
No, it's a contract. That's how they do business. And again, it costs $182.44 per month.
No, I understand that.
Which comes to a couple $1,000 a year.
Did you say we're locked into a contract?
Yes.
Yes, for 2 years.
For 2 years?
A two-year contract.
Yeah.
And you can't...
To get out of it...
Well, you could.
There's a penalty.
There's a penalty and might require our attorney to deal with it. I don't know for sure.
And who made this decision?
Hart.
On his own?
Yes. I have not found any documentation that the board allowed this to happen.
Or was aware of it.
Or was aware of this particular type. I think there was one other person in the office who helped out with it. So it wasn't just him, but I'm not certain exactly.
Well, I think there was certainly discussion about having Wi-Fi in here.
Yes.
And
but
I will presume that, given, and I don't want to depend high, but since it's only $2,000, he can make that decision. If he sort of has a tacit approval, and my sense was he was getting a tacit approval because he had discussed Wi-Fi during that period. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there.
Sure,
he didn't know what it is.
Yeah, it's hindsight, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's already paid for, right? It's probably within...
No, it's paid
monthly.
By the month.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But it's $2,000. It's paid by the month, only $2,000 a year. Okay. That's within the purview of the general manager.
Right. Okay. All right. He needed, I think, some better technical advice. So the other part of the Wi-Fi was the fact that the school was getting a fiber optic cable installed. They had to go through our property. And for doing so, the cable people put in a stub out to this community building. you look in that corner of the building, you'll see a large white plate in which is the stub out to us. This would be very fast. However, the particular cable that's in there is black right now, meaning it's not connected at the other end to the internet. And there's a question as to how much it would cost and how we could get it connected.
Does the school have it presently?
The school has it, but we can't tie into theirs. That's theirs. And they
so once again, the deal we had with the school was, is that was what specifically?
That the cable would be installed with the stub out to this building.
But you're saying it's not live.
But it's not live. It wasn't connected.
Was the intention that it be live?
I think that's what people thought, but that's not what the school would have done. I don't know.
Well, I think someone like me who doesn't know enough about it would have assumed that we could use it.
Yeah, well,
when I heard the discussion, that's when my understanding that it would be stubbed off of the school's line,
and then we could use
and we could use it.
But it's not.
But that, in essence, is what they're reimbursing us for our going through at the property.
Yeah, I mean, well,
that's my assumption.
No,
that's what it sounds like.
They have an easement then.
They got the easement, and
I see.
They physically put a cable in place. That's what we got. Now, I've tried to find out how we could get it connected at the other end. It goes somehow or other to the city of Richmond, and how we deal with that, I have not been able to find out yet. It's a part of my work in progress.
Huh.
So, we can't really use the cable, even though it shows up here. But there is a third option that I came up with. So, there's a telephone in this building. It's a payphone in that corner of the building by the bathrooms. And every phone line has two pairs, one for each phone, right? And that line belongs to AT&T. It doesn't belong to the payphone company. So I checked with AT&T, and they could give us UVerse here.
They actually could bring UVerse as opposed to just UVerse simple
into this
DSL.
Building. It's an upgraded DSL.
Right.
And if they can't use that particular line, which actually runs over the house over here, which is not supposed to apparently, there would be a $99 charge to put a line in for us.
But wait a minute, we're talking now about these last two options being alternate to the Wi-Fi right now.
Yeah.
And so we could get a policy going and have that vetted. We could use Wi-Fi. I had understood that one concern that you had was that with our limited whatever, that if kids downloaded videos that we would run out.
Exactly.
But if it's simply slow speed, say la vie, but I thought what was going to happen is that we would start incurring significant charges.
No, but we would essentially not be able to use it at that rate.
Well, that's okay. I mean, so we could go live. I mean, we're already live, but we could give the password out.
And see what happens.
And see what happens. And if it turns out that kids are downloading, because most of the time, kids are going to be downloading during the day and c'est la vie for them.
Can I ask a question just about whether you want to allow access for the kids?
Well, the problem is the system doesn't allow us to do an agreement policy to limit it.
You could just shut the router off.
Yeah, but then someone's got to physically do that.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm just wondering, you know, that's going to be a tough policy or a tough access to control.
Right.
For kids
right.
who could go anywhere.
That's right.
And so, anyways, I mean...
Yeah,
right.
That's the situation. Now, I am able to check the usage...
Mm-hmm.
Because I have access to the HughesNet website.
So you can see what websites they have access to?
No. I can see how much usage we have. And I can see if it's going to the point where we're going to lose it.
Okay.
But that wouldn't bother me as much as what they are accessing.
Right.
That you cannot control.
Well, yes, you can. If you want to change, if you want to establish a policy by making the Wi-Fi just available to the district's activities, as opposed to also making available to the...
True, yeah. But someone's got to physically come in.
Right.
But whenever there's district usage, we have to get everything else running, and at that point we can turn that on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it doesn't really have to be on all the time.
Yeah, we could certainly do that.
Yeah, that would work. The only other question here is, did some of the other organizations here...
KIC and KCC, as I understand, contributed $5,000 each.
Right.
And they would likely be using this equipment, right?
Right.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, but they contributed to the audiovisual. They did not contribute to the Wi-Fi.
Oh.
Okay, that's
right.
Okay. That would work.
The Wi-Fi, as I remember, wasn't what was being asked for at the time.
Right. No, that's true.
No, but I mean, had they asked for the Wi-Fi, that would have been included.
Okay, right. So that's good. That solves the problem. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, getting back to AT&T, there's two options. One up to 75 megabits per second and one 45 megabits per second, which would be sufficient for us. The 75 costs $60 a month for a 12-month contract, and the 45 costs $40 a month. Compare that to the 182 we're paying, and both of them include 1 terabyte of data per month.
That's a whole different ballgame.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Okay,
so,
but now,
but this is for future.
For the future. But I'm going to go back.
Would it not be worthwhile to have them both?
I think we could start to work on getting a second one, but for now we've got the Wi-Fi, so we could go...
Yeah, and we can see if it's a problem.
Yeah. But we certainly want to go to something less expensive than $182 a month.
Yes.
But I want to go back to the cable. All we have to do is call some company like Comcast and say...
The question is where the other end of it is, and I haven't been able to find out exactly, but I was told something about it being in the city of Richmond. At the other connection.
Well, but couldn't you find out by asking the school who put the cable in?
I have talked to those people.
Yeah.
They're trying to get that information to me.
Well, how is the school able to get internet?
Well, because they're paying for it and they had it connected for themselves.
But can't we go to whoever connected it for them to say?
Yes, I have gone to them.
And so why, I guess this is my silly mind.
Okay.
If the school was able to do it, why can't we do it with the same cable that was installed by the same company?
I think they put in a double cable. That's my understanding. And the school is using their cable. And our cable was not connected to the other end. The company is Contrera. Contrera.
So they're the internet. They're the... Broadband supplier.
Yes. They're not the broadband supplier, I don't think. I think they're the ones who, was a little while back that I did this. They're the ones that installed the system.
Right.
The cable. And I've got connections there to talk to. I got that information from the school. Mary Phillips at the school district.
I guess I am totally, totally befuddled with this. It seems that if the school was doing something, if they didn't put in the right cables for us, then that would be, I'd go back to the school and say, come on.
What sounds like, if they put dual cables, as you were saying, David, they have a cable that leads to our stub out, but all you have to do is find the broadband provider and say...
That can connect it, exactly.
But or just turn it on for that matter.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's connected at all at this point. Let's see now. It was Kelly Bone there who did this. Let's see, what did he say? I was asking him what kind of connection and service they receive. Okay, he says, we did indeed build a short lateral from the Kensington ES to the community center as part of a larger project. However, our agreement with WCCSD is to simply provide a flat layer 2 10 gigabyte transport network. They get their internet access from the Contra Costa Office of Education by a separate contract and transport arrangement. So they only installed it. They said they did donate some fiber strands to the city of Richmond as part of the project, which they were going to use to interconnect city sites and to access Internet Archive POP for their own use. But the city did not follow through with that project, so that means should the city of Richmond ever implement this project, it might well be possible for Kensington to reach an agreement with Richmond to access their internet via the extra strands we have on our network. But at this time, there really isn't much utility to the lateral we built for Kensington.
Wow.
Okay. So we didn't get the benefit of our bargain.
No. Right. Let's see, what else did he say?
Gee, how unusual for Kensington.
Yes. Well, see, the terminating gear at this end would be fairly inexpensive, he says. And we would still need a router and switch to make it useful. Okay, sadly, no. Okay. I asked, who can we get service from via the cable you installed? He replied, sadly, no one at this time. It was called a dark fiber in the industry. It's there, but it isn't hooked to anything.
Wow.
The school is networked via the WCC data center, but only schools can use that link.
Yeah.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay. I asked, having that lateral, can we get a separate connection to the internet? And then he said, that is why I brought up the city of Richmond. If they ever follow through on a project we designed with you, we would be able to make a deal with them for internet access from their supplier. We do not have our own internet source in the Bay Area at this time.
Wow.
And AT&T can't do anything with that.
Well, AT&T does.
They don't do cable.
Yeah.
And Comcast would be
some places they have fiber, but not here apparently.
And Comcast would
need a cable.
Would have its own.
Would have its own, and you'd have to cable it up.
Yeah. And okay.
Which may not be that bad.
No. Well, do they?
What does the library use?
They use the districts, the school districts.
Oh.
Now, this is interesting. We do pass an AT&T end office, so that's close to our line, but we do not enter it. The only option for you right now would be to commission a build it to that office, assuming AT&T has wholesale capability available there in the first place. I have no idea what the cost would be, but it will be at least $60,000. Based on other company entries we've done. Okay.
Hold on line.
We are looking into finding our own internet service point in the market. If we do that, would be the better option. I'll check and see if we have any results there. But that was the end of our conversation.
Well, that may be the end of the whole thing.
10 back and forth. So.
Well, I would imagine that homes around us have cable. One of them.
Well, there's cable here. There's Comcast here.
Yeah. So maybe just do an overhead line, possibly, right?
Yeah. Well, my personal thought is I don't like cable, but the AT&T would be the simplest and easiest solution. I use AT&T DSL.
Yeah.
And it works rather well. This is the UVerse, which is the next level. They're no longer doing DSL for new people, but they are keeping it up.
So it's not very fast.
So this would be...
DSL is not as fast, but this would be.
Yeah. So my recommendation to the board, if this is what everyone thinks, and we can take a vote on this, is to let's get a policy in place for the Wi-Fi. Let's have it known that the router will have to go on and off at district meetings. We'll somehow get that procedure in place. And then we will explore the option of the AT&T line.
Okay. I would go with that.
Makes sense.
But with the system, we're paying $180
$244. Right.
So don't we also have to say that we don't want to renew that? Shouldn't that also be part of the...
We should look into that, but that's a separate matter.
But what we need to do is wait for the AT&T to get up before we don't... And we'll have to look at the HughesNet to make sure that we don't get an automatic rollover to another...
Right.
Well, that's... Yeah, that's why we have to look at...
There is no rollover. I talked to him specifically about that. To another cost. When you reach the limit of your data, all they do is they throttled it down to about 48K.
That's fine.
But 48K is not usable.
Well, that's okay. I mean, as long as we're not going to get an exorbitant bill.
We won't. Yeah. We won't. The price doesn't change.
Yeah, okay.
And then the following, at the end of that month, it goes back up.
Okay.
And you'll get a sense from the meetings how much you've downloaded.
Exactly. And like I said, I can follow it directly online.
So if you start exceeding the 10 gigabytes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we could do it that way, and we could let KCC and KIC know if they're using this room and if they want Wi-Fi and to turn the router on and off.
Yeah, we'll have to make it rather simple to do, a separate switch.
Yeah.
But that, as I said, is not difficult to do.
Okay, so...
so the Wi-Fi is going to have access at all of the rooms. It's not just this room.
Right. I actually checked it out, and then you can pick it up outside the building.
Okay, but I'm thinking, like, for example, we often on KCC meet.
I believe it was in there, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that brings a good question, Simon. KCC and some of the other will also have access to it, presumably, during those evening meetings.
Yeah, that's what you were saying by turning it on and off.
Yeah.
And then
but I was just saying, outside of the district, I mean, the KCC is outside of the district.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so you will allow them the access to the Wi-Fi.
Well, that's a question. For the board to decide.
Yeah, that would be another item that the board to decide. I know they don't have enough work right now.
Okay, now what often KCC also meets over in the other building. It doesn't reach that far.
No. Okay. It reaches a few feet outside of the
building. That's all. Okay.
Depending on what kind of device
you have. Okay, great.
So I was able to use this device and my iPod Touch outside of the building, but if I was too far away, it disappeared. And, yeah.
Okay, so the motion would be that... we will develop a Wi-Fi policy and that a switch will be installed to turn the router on and off for use. We will also, well, let's just take that. So that's the motion on the table.
I'll second it.
Okay. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So unanimous on that.
By the way, just a side note. I don't know if we want people to have to go into that room. It might be possible to put a lock switch on the outside, but that will require an electrician.
Well, but on the other hand, people are going to have to go into that room to use the to turn on the system.
So well, but that's why I was talking about the cake, because we don't. If you meet in that room, the only thing you want access to, that's why I was bringing up that, is the Wi-Fi. Okay. So my question is there a way we can turn it on via device, remotely?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's possible.
Because then that way, if we go in a meeting there, someone gets on their cell phone and dial, goes to a website and turns it on.
Why don't you make that an action item for me?
Okay.
Well, I mean, the first thing you're going to have to do is decide who gets access to it.
Right.
Because, then if the fly fisherman are holding a meeting in the evening.
No,
Do they want it? Do the stamp guys? Maybe they want it. So.
Well, one thing we could do is for those people who are not under that umbrella of the district, why not charge for it?
That's what I'd say.
Well, I would, but at the same time, would you charge KCC?
I personally would prefer not, because I think KCC works for the community, but there are other groups that use this, and if they want access, let them pay for it. Yeah, exactly. Let them pay for it.
But we would have to make sure that it isn't overly used in situations like that.
Well, I don't know that outside groups, other than maybe KCC and KIC, really need Wi-Fi. I don't know if the fly fishermen are looking to see what streams are really active lately. If they have traffic.
I'm sure they have special
what the best fly looks like for this month.
Well, you might want to try it out in a smaller group and then see how it goes first before you then open it to other groups.
I would at least start.
You're right there.
And this might become a moot point if we go to AT&T.
Yeah, because there we, I think, would have enough data. Okay.
Since I have to leave in just a minute, would you mind if I just ask my question?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
But I just wonder, how does the streaming fit into what has been discussed? Is there a place with it? Is there a possibility for streaming at all, or not?
Okay. Can I answer that?
Sure.
So streaming means that while
the meeting is taking place,
people can actually watch it,
right.
But they can also view it later on the streaming website. But that would be something we would have to pay for extra.
I just want to say, my two cents worth is that one of the big problems that I feel we've had is to get people engaged, because people are very busy, they don't have time. Who knows? But my feeling is that it does make a difference being able to watch it live as opposed to watching it later. When later on, it's old news, sort of. You know, it's like reading yesterday's newspaper. But it is live. Now, I could be totally wrong. Maybe nobody would watch it because they have other things to watch. But this is an opportunity to maybe change, you know, get people in the habit of watching or... And I don't know whether you can tell how many people are viewing, but it just seems like a wonderful thing to make available and to see whether that helps the community be engaged.
Okay.
I just think there is a difference between now and later.
Okay. I'm not 100% sure that we would have live streaming.
Okay.
We would have streaming.
Okay, and that's live streaming would be what you...
Okay,
yeah.
Let me look into live streaming.
There's a way to know whether it's being used, because obviously there's a cost, but especially, even if you didn't do it forever, but it just seems like right now where we have a lot of very important, critical issues, it would be great if more people were engaged and asking questions. So even if we just did it for a year, but only if we can tell if it's being used. Obviously,
If we go down that route, do we need to put together policy with regards if it's live streaming, communication from those people who are involved via live streaming? In other words, here we have this process where certain times we can get up and ask questions, make statements, et cetera.
Live streaming is not two-way.
It's not two-way.
It's not what?
Two-way.
Not two-way.
But they could still call in.
Yeah, they could.
I like the debates where you get email questions.
Well, I'm just saying, I think it would be very frustrating to be watching something and something very important happens.
Going to be used.
Yeah. Well, one thing you could do is look at what other communities.
I think it may just be the kitchen, but let me just check.
Seems to me you should try to do a survey.
That's where I was going to go. I think the 5-6 of us here have a good sense of things, but I think as we want to set up things for the community, I think we really want to know or hear from them what they would like.
I think that's good.
We can do this. We did the Survey Monkey before. We could do that.
Anyway, thank you very much. I enjoyed. Sorry I have to leave. I have another.
I'll try to get you an answer.
Okay. Thank you. This is great. Have a good rest of the day. Thank you. Yeah.
I'll see you.
Bye.
Yeah, that's true.
Can we move into that, please?
We could.
You can also take a look at some of the other jurisdictions that actually webcast. I know what Berkeley does. I don't know if El Rio may. I'm not quite sure. And see how that works for them and what their costs are and whether they really do get much more engaged by the community.
I think that's a good future agenda item. Not something...
Well, that ain't going to happen right now.
No.
And I don't even know if you have the capacity with this satellite to even do that.
Yeah. They didn't talk about soundproofing, huh?
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question of for entities that do have webcasts, whether they see any increase in participation.
Did you see how many docs there were on that chart?
I'll just let Wyoming loose.
Cooking? Is this a cookie?
Oatmeal cookie, she said. You were at the last meeting, right? And Frank Bossi was talking about... And Delk's exchanged a couple of emails, and it appears that it may be more of a problem with the mic at the podium and people moving it.
My sense was that it was the... the distance from the mic.
May I suggest moving it to the other room?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. Which in the room one? Because we didn't. Because three was locked.
Yeah. This one is locked. So.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. There are chairs in there, I think.
Yeah, I was just trying to bring them.
I'll let it go. What the heck?
This is the my recording device.
She thinks she's hooked up. She doesn't realize she's free. Wyoming. Come on, Wyoming.
I was talking to David afterwards, and when I was making some comments, I was very close to the mic, and the volume went up. And I think that's what was bothering
Frank,
yeah. Because once you pull back a little bit, then you see that it was all right. The volume was high. And that really bothered him. Because I was watching him adjust his hearing aid in the back of, I guess, his glasses or... And that seems to be the problem. So, I think...
Do we need to be concerned about the fact that that door is open with all that equipment?
I shut it for that chair.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought about it. Okay. Everybody's not crazy. So, this is...
In my...
Okay. We have to say we adjourn.
Cool. Yeah, that's the impression, David, that I got from Delk's correspondence.
I missed that.
My impression was, Eileen asked about, was it an issue of how close you were to the mic when you talk? That was my impression, was the closer you got, the volume picked up. And that's what bothered Frank more than anything else.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what bothered him. Some people were speaking too loud. Some people weren't speaking loud. I tried to explain to him in an email that the person who's speaking
cannot tell
right.
if they're speaking yeah. too loud or right. not loud enough because right. they hear from the inside of the head. They don't hear the speaker.
Right.
So right. we essentially got to train people. But how are you going to train, you know, there are 30, 40 people, you know, over a period of time who would talk, you know. So there are certain ones you can say,
right.
you know, I don't know, do we have a card we hold up of what? But I know for me, all right, number one.
Yeah, that's not a bad
number
idea.
Number one, all right, I had very, very bad hearing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't uh-huh. hear the meeting in the other room, all right? Got very sophisticated hearing aids. It turns out I've tried the ALDs 4 different times with different cables, different...
The ones they supply, is that what you
mean? Sorry?
When you say the ALDs...
Assisted listening
devices. The ones that we have.
Yes, I don't right. know. All right. So we have 4 of them.
Right.
They are 2 types of cables.
Right.
One is one that you clip over your ear, and that's for any hearing aid, or if... Even if you don't have a hearing aid, that's just essentially going to be a microphone, a speaker, okay. right in your ear here. The other one, which is the one around your neck, is for if you have a T-coil in your hearing aid. And then the sound comes from the box to this device, and then it sends it to the T-coil in your hearing aid. All right? The first time Frank and Barbara mm-hmm. used them, they were given ones with the loop. Mm. Barbara's hearing aids, I don't think, have T-coils. She has in-the-ear hearing aids, and most of those do not have T-coils. Mm. All right? Frank has very, very high-tech ones. Wow. All right? But as far as I understand, that first meeting, which was the one in December, mm-hmm. he stood up and said, I can't hear.
Right.
So I figured he doesn't have a T-coil in his. I mean, I could understand why Barbara's wouldn't work because she probably doesn't have a T-coil. At the time, I didn't know the difference. I've had to read this.
So how does it work for you now?
I've tried them both ways. Turns out I don't need the device, all right? The hearing, the system is so much better, right. You don't need it. Except there are certain people, I cannot hear Lynn Walter. All right, she's got the microphone right here, but she talks very softly like this. And
you know, those mics are very bad. Because it comes up to about here on me.
Well, he's, yeah.
Well right. actually, the end of it, about 2 or 3 inches, yeah. can be moved
That can
down.
Be bent?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I talked to Dan today.
Oh, okay.
Well, emailed, because I didn't know exactly which ones we had.
Yeah.
And they can be moved, and I think that's something we'll have to do at the next meeting.
The other
and
thing...
So let me just say about you. I think we can train everybody... Regular people.
Right.
You can't have your microphone any farther away than about your hand here. When
right.
it's here,
right.
it's hard to hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Sylvia speaks, her voice projects fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
Yours
mm-hmm.
doesn't project as
yeah.
well. Lynn projects fairly well when he's speaking. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't need a mic.
yeah.
yeah.
Well, when yeah. Linda Lipscomb,
she doesn't.
I mean, I cranked my hearing aids down and I cranked data and I practically busted my eardrum.
Well, that's what my impression was watching Frank at the last meeting. He was having a problem with the volume. It was too loud at times, and then it wasn't loud enough. And he would say, you could hear him saying that.
Yeah.
I was sitting right behind
well,
him.
I eventually, you know, went over, sat down next to him, tried to figure him. He had the volume of the ALD set at 5%, which is the lowest it will go.
okay.
And he was complaining about it being too loud.
Oh, wow.
So I took it off, wow. I unplugged the thing, all right, and he was still complaining about. You know, he was saying it's vibrating, the whole room is vibrating,
wow.
and this and that and the other. And then somebody would get up and they're not loud enough.
Well,
and Frank is right. You know, sound, there's an exponential factor.
Yeah.
All right? It's the square of the distance, how sound travels. So and it turns out these microphones are not as good as Hart claimed they were.
Well, it seems to me it's something of both. They may not be, oh, you mean the microphones that you...
No, I'm talking about the microphones.
Well, wait a minute, I have a question.
The first meeting, which was in October, he said, you don't have to kiss the microphone.
Oh, you don't.
You don't.
You don't have to kiss it, but you can't have it sitting here.
But wait a minute. I want to be clear on something. There's two mics. There's the mics that we have that are on the long stem.
Yeah. Right.
And then there's the mic at the podium. Was the mic at the podium replaced, or is that the...
No, it's also replaced. It's a new one.
Yeah,
it's
a new
one.
Yeah.
It just looks like the old one.
Much better than the old one.
Okay.
But the old one, you really had to have your lip kissing right against the other.
But it still had to do with proximity even to that mic, because you told me that I was too close, and
yes,
I was too, and then became too loud for Frank. So it's not just the mics may or may not be as good as Hart would describe them, but it's also how people use them.
Yes,
but you don't know what distance you should be.
Yeah.
All right, that's something you've got to learn.
But also, Dr. Dell, it also depends on, as you pointed out with Lynn Walter, the way she projects.
It's projection.
Yeah, voice. So it's a combination
And no microphone is perfect.
No.
Here's my take on the microphones.
Yeah.
All right. I wrote all this out so I wouldn't forget anything. Okay, so the basic problem, as we all agree, is misunderstanding as to how the mics work. The new mics are very good, and they actually work as they're supposed to. But again, the problem is we can't control them individually.
Right.
And that's because this system was designed to be plug and play. You turn it on, you don't need an operator, and you don't have a situation where there's somebody with a soundboard adjusting things as you go along. Some city councils have that. They also have separate cameras that go place to place, but we don't have that. So I've tried to find out if there's a way, if we were to designate certain mics for certain board members, and could then adjust the volume for that board member. That would be a really great thing. I'm told that's not possible with our system. But I read it a little further, and I found an app that might allow us with a computer to do that, to make those adjustments. I have to check it out. I haven't gotten that far yet. So the other thing is that the mics on the dais, I just found out, are adjustable. We saw that.
It's just the end of them.
Yeah, just the end of them is movable. And I think that'll help. These mics have a cartioid, forget what it is, the way they pick up the sound. So they pick up the sound in a heart-shaped area in front of them. They do not pick up sound behind them, which is what
do
you
they,
want.
Do they pick up sound on, if you have the mic like this,
Yeah. All right,
if you have the mic like this, does it pick up the sound?
Not as much, because what happens is, if you hold out your finger, and that will be the mic. So the sound, it picks up in an area like this. It looks like a heart.
Okay.
Away from there.
So anyway, for the board members and for staff members, that can be worked out.
Hopefully.
You know?
I don't know for sure, but we can certainly explain to each member of the board exactly what
and
was best for
them. And I don't think Frank was complaining about the board as much as he was complaining about people in the audience.
Yes.
All right?
And that
now, there was one thing that he complained about was when Rochelle put the mic down to hear Vanessa.
Yeah.
I mean, that almost blew my ears apart.
Wow.
That was awful.
Wow.
That was, and
yes.
Frank was screaming about
and
that.
It had to do more with the sound quality of that little speaker that she was using. And that brings up another item for future use, by the way, if I can bring it up, is to get a Bluetooth high fidelity speaker that can attach to the phone being used for a board member away. And these speakers can either be plugged in or it's a Bluetooth connection. I have one at home that I can bring here. for the next meeting to test. It's a very small one. It's a Sony. And that's something that I was going to bring up and I forgot to write that.
Yeah, that would be worthwhile, but that's really quite interesting. I find it also, I don't know if this would help, not help, but if this is also another issue. Sometimes when Vanessa talks, there's like a lot of static, and it's jarring. Mm. Just sitting next to the phone, it's really
she
jarring.
She has a very high, shrill voice to begin with, even when she is not speaking on the telephone.
I think it's the speaker, either the little additional speaker or the one in the iPhone.
Okay.
That is the issue.
Okay.
Because it was very good. So
one of the things that I've been doing lately, I've been having a lot of conference calls with my phone internationally as well as locally. And everyone seems to be happy with the quality of the sound that they're getting. And I'm just wondering if there's some way or another we can get people to use their phones, even when they're in this room, rather as a speaker system. And then you have this Bluetooth speakers where the audience hears what's going on.
Well, Bluetooth is only one-to-one. You only pair one. You're not saying...
But you have a receiver. Oh, you say when you're talking. Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. Is there,
you say that people should use their phones instead of the microphone?
Yes.
Not everybody has a phone.
No, I don't think...
It's just that we've been, like I said, I've just been having all these conference calls using speakerphone, and the quality has been fine, even with international, right?
Yeah, it could be with Vanessa, that where she is and the connection she has, it's not...
She's calling in on WhatsApp.
Yeah, and that could be it.
It hasn't happened in the big room, but when we're in closed session, it drives me nuts, because you get this beep, 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 beep.
That's the app she's using. It's not directly a friend.
I think it's really training or getting the audience, myself included, to understand how they need to speak.
Absolutely.
To that microphone.
Absolutely.
Well, the other thing, though, David, along with that, is there's a big difference in heights of people. Like when Linda was talking at the podium, she practically was on her tiptoes straining. And then there's other people that are.
That mic can be moved.
That microphone is very adjustable to the height.
Not a problem. That could be, although I think in part was the distance of the podium, but what I saw, Linda was standing on her tiptoes, and she did have the mic down, but she was standing on her tiptoes.
But she doesn't need the mic.
Not Linda Lipscomb, Linda's back.
Linda's back. Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right.
I couldn't hear her.
Well, I tell you what I will do.
You have a little step stool.
Well, you might have to, because the ceiling.
And you know, Pat Gillette, her voice doesn't project.
Yeah, and she always
I have to listen really hard to hear what she says, but it doesn't matter because I just don't care to listen to her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll volunteer to adjust the mic for people.
Well, you need to do that. Certainly, you shouldn't wait till the first person gets up to speak to turn on the mic.
Yeah, that was a mistake. It should have been on that time.
But what we could do is at the beginning of the meeting, we could explain that this is what we need to do is to just have people be aware of their voice. And if their voice projects, they don't have to shout into the microphone. They don't need to be that close. Mm-hmm. If their voice is one that's softer, then they'll need to...
Well, you can make that announcement.
Yeah, we can do that.
Up front.
That's what we can do.
And then we can talk to people individually, after the meeting, say, you really need to speak up a little bit. Yeah. Sierra Wood, she was close enough to the mic.
She has a soft voice.
But she has a very soft voice.
So can we put a sheet with these sort of tips and put it on the stand there?
I don't think you're not going to be able to read it there.
What we could do is, I don't know whose idea it was earlier, green and red sheets.
That was my idea.
That's
up.
What I think we need to do until we can sort of get used to
it. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. A big arrow.
Have a spotter.
What I'm talking about has to do with letting people know how to adjust that mic, right? That they want to
Yeah.
And just have a little sheet there that says, please adjust the mic in the following.
Yeah, it should be like about three to 5 inches from your mouth.
Well, just, yeah.
And speak directly into it.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, what we could do is just have that be a standard statement at the beginning of the meeting.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And
you know,
you're an optimist, David.
And you know, it's always the same 12 people at the meeting,
right? Yeah, you have to have
it. But I think if people come up to the mic and then they have to read the set of instruction, that's not going to work.
No. We'll get a.
No, what I did for these ALDs. I made out a little card that gets folded in half that the person can read.
Right.
Well, you don't have that many. You got what? How many people need it? Maybe.
Yeah, we only have four.
Wait a minute. You now don't need it, right?
I'm not going to use them anymore.
And then does Dr. Lossie still need those, or can he hear without?
To be honest with you, I don't know.
It was just
because he's done the first time he used it. He said it doesn't work.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and then the next time it's too loud. Even when he wasn't using it, he was screaming about it.
What about this closed loop that he brought up and his daughter responded?
Okay, I've got some thoughts about that for you also.
David may not be aware of that, but Frank Lossie's daughter is a member of a condominium homeowners association, and they just installed some kind of closed loop system.
They're very cheap. They're very easy to install.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are instructions how you can do them in your own house. All right. The only problem was it might be a wire that's visible. Well, God, I'm doing the looks of our hall out there.
Okay. Well, basically,
and back in November of 2015, Hart talked about a loop system.
Yes, he did.
And I don't think he ever followed up on it.
He didn't.
And I know that Dan said he never talked to them about a loop system.
Yeah.
Who's Dan?
Dan is PSG. Is it ASG?
ASG.
ASG, the company.
Advanced Systems Group that installed
the
ABLE system. Yes. He and I have a good relationship.
Oh, okay.
We ride the same
kind of bus. I sent him an email and I asked him about that. He said, never talked to him about a loop system. But this is, if you have one of these, then nobody needs to use one of these.
If they have
T-coils in the hearing aid.
Ah.
Okay.
But it's still going to be the same problem that some people are going to be speaking loud.
That's not going to solve that problem.
So let me fill you guys in on this hearing aid thing. So, Del already mentioned there are two kinds of receivers used for the hearing aids. The one
I call them cables. Right.
Okay, whatever you want to.
Yeah.
Okay, one plays back the sound and the mic that the mic picks up audibly into a regular hearing aid. So there's a little tiny speaker that plays it back.
That's
and the second type has a loop that electronically. Sends it to the T-coil in the hearing aid.
In the hearing aid, correct.
Okay. The other thing one can have is a loop which would directly connect to the hearing aids with T-coils. And this was originally promised by Hart, but it was never implemented. It would require a different amplifier, a different transmitter for it in the rack, and a loop to be installed all around the room. But since we have these little receivers and we already that work with T-coils, I think that having that at this point would be, you know, extra.
And
really nice.
Unless we have more than four people who are having trouble hearing.
Correct.
And this would give you a much larger number of people could use it.
But then again, several people with T-coils have found they don't really need them.
And you know, I don't believe it was ever anybody ever tried to figure out how many people are having trouble hearing.
Exactly.
Right?
We know that one person complained a great deal.
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy. Okay.
But the problem isn't necessarily the decoy.
No, I don't think it is.
I'm not sure what its problem is.
Yeah.
Except that it's not perfect.
Yeah. And the other point is, if the current T-coils don't work with our little devices that we have, then the loop won't work for them either.
Interesting.
Because it just...
Are you prepared to write that up?
I wrote it up right here. So
I think you're right, David. It may be superfluous to...
Yeah, at this point it's superfluous. And it does the same thing. It's just that you have a huge antenna around the room instead of the small antenna around the person's neck.
Oh,
that's really the only difference.
Oh,
so it has to broadcast at a much higher power.
Got it.
So it needs a big amplifier.
Yeah.
And hello.
Hi. We're going to have a whole brownie trip here in about 5 minutes.
I thought we had room one. Do we have room three then?
We use it like every other Friday, so I don't know what they have on the calendar.
Got it.
Okay, that's fine, no problem.
Okay.
We can move again. But that room was locked.
So I had to call Andrea up and tell her to
open it
up. Was it locked from the outside as well?
Yeah, I tried the outside.
Let me check and see if it's still locked from the inside. Because she may have opened it for
a while. I don't think she did.
So anyway, the loop system takes the sound, gets converted into electricity, and then into radio waves,
still
and then gets back directly to the hearing aid, all right? So you're not hearing what's coming out of speakers.
Yeah.
The speaker is your hearing aid, is the speaker.
Well, what else do we want to accomplish?
I mean,
we could be outside.
Point.
We could meet outside for a little bit. I know you're going to need to go, right?
That was everything for me at this point.
Yeah. I think, David, it would be helpful to have that written out to send to Dr. Lossie, because he's thinking that this closed-loop system that his daughter has is the solution.
I'm going to write to him.
Yeah,
I have a copy of it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and he was also comparing the $34,000 to the $4,000 that they spent. Yeah. But most of that is the audiovisual.
Yeah, see, that's what I think. It needs to be pointed out, to break that down, how much of the $34,000
and we don't
was
have
just hearing, I mean, just a PA system, and how much was this... push and play recording system.
Yeah.
Do you know how much the two cost?
No.
Well, I'm going to send in my PRA
to find out
when I get home.
Yeah.
I have asked for it and I have not been able to get it, so I'm going to.
What is it that you want, Del? Because I'm going to go over to the community. I'm going to go over to the public safety building to meet with Ricky on something else, so I could.
But I essentially want to know the breakdown of the components that went into this $35,000 system. How much do the assisted listening devices cost each? Hart says relatively inexpensive.
Okay,
right?
So the ALD,
talking about relative to $34,000.
The ALDs and what else?
I want to know how many there are. Although I know I want to know what the ALDs.
Yes.
Cost
yes.
each.
Yes.
I want to know how much the cables cost, the two types of cable.
Oh, I guess I thought the ALDs were the cable.
So. No, the ALD is the little box. The
okay.
little box.
Oh, okay. Oh,
little
okay.
Box.
Okay.
Here.
And then the cable that goes around.
You know, I sent you.
I know, but I didn't understand it because I don't know what this equipment
so
is.
I have a suggestion.
Why don't we go and have a look at the actual hardware and show you what we're talking about?
Okay, and then you could come with me maybe to the public safety building. I see your bolt, by the way.
Yes.
And then we could explain to Lynn what invoices Delft is trying to get at.
Okay.
There must be a purchase order. Maybe that purchase order breaks all this stuff down.
I'm sure it does.
Before we break up, before we're invaded by Brownies.
Why won't she send it to me?
I don't know, but I know she's very busy. But when are we going to meet next, and what issues do we want to have? Well, we can worry about an agenda at some future time, but when would we like to meet next? It seems like
Thursday or Wednesday work best for me.
Right, I understand, yeah.
I came up special for this
Oh,
week.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But
I
like to be here
that.
At least once a week, and we were in Carmel, so.
Oh, okay. But that's okay. Do you want to meet in about a month? Should we... 2 months? You know, do you want to meet quarterly? I don't know what else we need to do.
Why don't we do it in a month and see what comes up? And we can always decide not to have
a month from today.
Yeah, roughly a month.
Friday's not good.
But no. But Thursday or Wednesday or Thursday,
yeah, Wednesday.
We could do. We did have it proposed for Thursday at some point, and then it was.
Well, with Thursday, there's the regular APBCSB meetings. So don't do it on the same Thursday.
Yeah, ideally not. Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
So are we finished?
I move to adjourn.
I'll second that motion.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Safe travels. Have fun.